cold.
We're going home, guys.
About that silent night when God came down as a holy child, Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. The town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel spitting, the donkeys kicking, the mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now go. But a silent night, well, the angels sang, so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. You'll find him in a manger low, but he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it to you?
Traveled down until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight.
Anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory, what's it to you? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby.
From far and wide, just to stand by that baby's side. The glory stream from up above. He is light and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory.
Up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
Did I abuse her or show her disdain? Why does she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech. When the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach. High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair. Light and becoming and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Ah, agony far more painful than yours. When you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony, oh, the torture they teach.
intriguing or half so fatiguing as what's out of reach? Am I not sensitive, clever, well-mannered, considerate, passionate, charming as kindness? I'm handsome and heir to a throne.
You are everything maidens could wish for.
Then why no?
Do I know?
The girl must be mad. You know nothing of madness till you're climbing her hair and you see her up there as you're nearing her, all the while hearing her ah.
Agony, misery,
although it's different for each. Always 10 steps behind,
always 10 feet below,
and she's just out of reach.
Agony
can cut like a knife. I must have her to
sweet cherry wine. Thank you. Thank you. That was not me singing in falsetto. Sorry. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and a lot of other things. I describe what the meaning of that song Agony is, but I think we can all understand it, whether we are in the perspective of the bridegroom or the bride. So close, but yet so far is the basic theme of that. And here we are. Carol was mentioning in chat that she saw that I'd scheduled a show for the 19th, and that was inadvertent. I don't know what happened. I had a little computer glitch, and then that sort of affected the scheduling page on Blog Talk, and somehow or other I ended up on the 19th instead of the 13th. I do not know if there's anything to that. However, he gave me a different message for the title page of the show today than the one that I scheduled on the 19th. So there could be something to it. The one for the 19th, if I do it right here, I'm going to pull this up. In fact, even more so today, I really don't have much planned. I have a particular revelation to share about the things that were discussed the other night. And I want to sort of review a little bit of Michelle's email. I want to mention a couple of things about Carol had, which actually what he gave me tonight ties right in with the things that she's been saying. And then, well, anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. Let me check this page and see if it's up. And why? Now, this is strange. This is really weird because the show scheduled for the 19th is still above the one scheduled for the 13th. That is very weird. Okay, so just for the record, the scripture he gave me for the title page of the show, there were no phrases or anything. He just gave me Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And the verses are, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, which is Sheol, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. And it specifically says Sheol. So not just the belly of the whale, specifically from the realm of the dead. And so after the rapture, the earth will be a realm of the mostly dead. Oh, I know what happened. Maybe. We'll see. Sorry, I had a little glitch, but I'm betting I know who the culprit is. Let's see what I can do here. So that's essentially what I'm going to try to achieve. So I will come back to that in just a second. And then, of course, tonight's show, the title page is... First of all, I made the note, somehow scheduled for April 19th. And then he led me in a particular way to Ezekiel 16, verse 32. And the way that he did this was I was using a specific printed Bible as a reference, one that was handy, and he gave me a page number. And then he gave me the verse on the page. So I looked at the page number, and I noted it was Ezekiel. It didn't even matter to me what chapter I was in yet, and he led me to verse 32. And it says, you adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband. And, of course, this is the Lord through Ezekiel talking to the nation of Israel. And then I noticed it was chapter 16 and verse 32. And then I noticed that, 32 is 2 times 16. So I typed in 16, 16, 16. And that, Carol, is why I sent out the email. I had just done that, and then I look in the email, and I see that Carol has sent – Carol says, I am not the culprit. And I noticed that Carol had sent out an email, and she mentioned about June 7th because June 7th will be the Gregorian calendar year anniversary, the 49th, I guess, complete 40 years, 49 years since Israel captured Jerusalem. And promptly returned it back to the Jordanians. But anyway, so I sent her an email. I said, June, what happened to April 16th? So it was funny because when she sent that out today, it surprised me because I wanted to mention tonight on – I already was wanting to mention tonight on the show before I scheduled it that Carol has really been led to the 16th. And I know Michelle and Jason are also really, really looking at the 15th and the 16th, among other days. And, you know, of course, every day. But it's of all the, I don't know, the timing of her sending that. So in sort of in its own way, it actually we lost Carol. Where'd you go, Carol? And in its own way, it actually highlighted this fact. So it's emphasizing this in my experience, and I have not really been that focused on the 16th. I could, you know, I'm focused more towards the end of the month, which is to say the last week or 10 days or so, somewhere in there, but particularly towards the end of the month. However, I know that any time beginning now could be significant. And there was an article today, and I do not know exactly how factual it is because I don't believe it was entirely correct in the information that it was sharing. However, there was what's the name of the publication? There was an article, and I think it was Breaking Israel News or something like that. There's an article that it's entitled ICYMI Temple of Baal replica arrives in London just in time for ancient pagan festival. Now, it doesn't give a source for that information, but it's saying that the pieces have arrived in London so that they can be erected of this, what we understand is the Palmyra triumphant arch. There she is. Carol, I thought I offended you and you disappeared and I was just talking about all your stuff. Come on now. Don't poof then. Anyway, she says I am not the culprit. But to review, because I don't know what Carol heard and what she didn't hear, because I'm assuming she had a blog talk issue. Or some kind of a feed issue. And anyway, I was led to this verse, Ezekiel 16:32, by a page number in the physical Bible that I use as a reference. And I then later realized, I came to the verse 32, realized it was chapter 16, and realized that 16:32 is three number 16s. And I was already thinking of mentioning April 16th because I know Carol had mentioned it several times and recently. And also, I know Michelle and Jason had been led to the 15th, 16th range as one of the possible times to look for a departure and certainly a potential date set. And we've learned now several times that when we're given date sets, we need to keep track of them to see what they bring, not only for our departure. So these date sets are sometimes times of obviously, they are times to observe and not just watch for our expected departure, but also for other clues. And Jason's had a continuous succession of dates to watch that have been fulfilled by new date sets. And this has gone on for a very long time, and he's done an amazing job keeping track of all of it. As I go on, I mean, quite frankly, he's allowed my circumstances to become increasingly preoccupying in a manner that I simply just can't keep track of all this stuff. He's sort of drained me of the motivation in many respects to do that. But what he's done is he has equipped Jason fairly miraculously because of some of his other circumstances, and also Michelle. And he sort of has each of them playing a particular role, which is complementing. I think we're all complementing the leadings that he's giving us, as well as so many others of us, including Marianne. I've got another thing about Marianne's dream from the October 3rd show that I realized the other day. It's very significant, and it really adds a lot more understanding to her dream. Also, it is yet a further understanding now that things are playing out right here in April and early May, just how prophetic that October 3rd show was. And I am still planning to get back to that. I just haven't had a chance to kind of collate it at the moment and pull the notes together for that. I just haven't been able to do. Carol's having trouble hearing me. Okay, hold on just a second, because just in case it's on my end, I'm going to play a quick song here and try to make a change and rule out that as a possibility. Okay, so hopefully, if I was having a technical problem, what I just did will change that, we hope. If it was not my problem, then I probably can't do anything about it. Sorry, Carol, if it was me or even that you're having a problem. Okay, so maybe she didn't hear what I was trying to say there. Carol, this is a deliberate frustration that we've concocted here. No, it's not. But anyway, so I guess my question is, is any better now? And whether or not it's better, did you hear what I was saying enough about the 16th to understand that I wanted to talk about it? And then the verse he gave me, he led me directly to by page number in the book, by page number in the Bible, physical Bible that I use. And by the way, he gave me page number 1200. And on page 1200, he gave me verse 32. And that happened to be in chapter 16. And I realized that 32 is 2 times 16. Plus, he gave me another 16. So really, we have 3 16s in this verse. And so, which is, well, yeah. Okay, sound is good now. Okay, sorry, everybody. If I was having a technical issue, I'm sorry. I didn't have a way to know that. Apparently, I did know why, though. So that's what I have about that. So the 16th is an interesting day. I want to mention that the 16th is also a day that a very long time ago, Mama Pat was given a day of the 16th. And I do believe when she was originally given that, it was either understood, it was either in April, in the month of April, or it was understood to be for April. I'm not 100% on that because it was at least last year. Anyway, Mama Pat has had 16, a number that she was led to, and so was Marianne at one point. She was led to the 14th, 15th, no, the 15th, 16th, 17th, or the 14th. Anyway, she was led to a string of days a very long time ago that included the number of the day of the 16th. So that is, that's kind of where we're at now. So anyway, Carol sent out that email and started talking about June. I'm like, whoa, wait, throw on the brakes here, because I'm just getting ready to talk about the 16th, which is what you're talking about. And so Carol says she's wondering if there were, if the earth and the earth and the heavens are going to rock and roll starting April 16th. We will see. But because of what I was saying, how the Lord has sort of segregated our roles here, and you know, he's got Jason in a particular mode, and he's got Michelle in a particular garage mode, and he's got me in a particular mode where I'm getting some of these things, you know, my mode, I'm trying to follow how he leads me, I have a very few spare minutes to do garage work, and I'm really, quite frankly, I have very low motivation to pursue all the possible leads, but Michelle is still driven in that way. And it turns out to be a really nice mix. Plus, we have Marianne and everybody, like I mentioned. In fact, Michelle mentioned on an email, I had mentioned that there were seven of us on the phone who all shared things on the October 3rd show, which I know is prophetic. And everyone had, and one of the reasons I want to go back through that show and make some notes is because every person there contributed some details, some specific observations that I do believe were prophetic and pointing to this month in various different ways. So I want to go back and track that down a little bit, not as a proof, but as an instruction for all of us in what we might get out of it here for this month. On that show, let's see if I can remember it right now. So we had Carol, we had Tana, and we had Mama Pat, and we had Faith, and we had Marianne, and Jason was on the line, and I and he spoke, and then I was hosting. That's seven of us who spoke on the show, and in addition, there was Michelle, who was on the line, but needed to be muted, and so she wasn't able to say anything, but she also was on the show. So that's anyway. So that all of those people are, you know, playing their parts. As any, you know, anybody here in our group does from time to time as the Lord leads. And so one of the things I want to do in recognition of that is I want to go over. I was reading Michelle's email from several, well, really quite a while ago now, just about the beginning of my vacation. And let's see what I can find here. I've got all these. I've got a huge folder of emails for the show. But anyway, I want to go over that a little bit. But before I do, I really want to give you probably the biggest takeaway thing that I have that's new. I have two things that are new. First of all, I was mentioning when the question of our technical problem came up was, Breaking Israel News website had a story today about the arrival of the pieces of the arch to be put up in Trafalgar Square. And at first we were thinking it was the arch from the Temple of Bel. The articles which I covered the other day on the show a couple of days ago was described the visibly watching a machine crank these things out. There were several changes which they had admittedly made to their plans, and they are now saying and they changed their plans to construct the Arch of Triumph from Palmyra rather than the archway entrance to the Temple of Bel. And they are closely related, however, because each structure sat at opposite ends of the Roman colonnade that was there. Now, there's a tremendous amount of information that goes along with that, and to do it justice, I do need more time to go through it all. But I can tell you, just as a note, mentioning the colonnade and the strong connection that these objects have, it was this temple, this Arch of Triumph, that was, in fact, the one that was destroyed on the date of October 4th. And Jason had this dream, and the dream was Jesus at the front of the classroom saying, tomorrow is the final exam. There's a lot of things going on, so pay attention to the bold print. And we interpreted that very quickly as being headlines. In other words, just pay attention to the big things, but watch the bold print. Well, the headline the next day was that this Arch of Triumph in Palmyra had been destroyed by ISIS, and which is to say, One World Order type people. And so it is this arch and its destruction which, well, powerfully underscores the prophetic nature of that show and the revelations that he had given us. So in this Breaking Israel News article, it is saying that the pieces to assemble that in Trafalgar Square in London in 2 days, no, not in 2 days, on the 6th, our understanding as best we have, the information has been not clear, we understand it will be assembled on the 18th. And so that's what, 5 days from now. Anyway, the pieces have arrived in England, in London. Now, the other thing about that is that the rest of that article is mentioning the older information that talks about the archway to the Temple of Bel, which is a rectangular opening rather than a true arch. We won't know for sure because of the way this has been reported until they actually show us the thing standing there, if we're here to see it. And we will go from there. Now, I happened to notice just before the show started that Jonathan Kleck put up a new video today, and I have not been able to watch it except a few minutes at the beginning, but he is sort of doing a kind of a red alert video about this, and he's still talking about the archway of the Temple of Bel, and so we will see what they come up with. Now, the other thing that was mentioned on the show that I'm going to talk about today on purpose is a Marianne's dream. And in Marianne's dream that we talked about, the petulant one who resides in the White House she's in the White House also, and she sees the petulant one, and he's dressed all in green. Green jacket, green tie, green shirt, and it's all not exactly the same color dream. In fact, she even said they clashed a little bit, but it was green. And one of the things that we got out of that and spoke about on the show was the green jacket being Augusta and what have you. Then he goes into a room to change clothes. He comes out of that room and says that and she sees that instead he's wearing a red, white, and blue jacket, kind of like Uncle Sam, and a baseball cap turned around backwards. Now, I talked about that the other day. There is so much to discuss, even though Jason was encouraging me to repeat myself on the shows more, but for the moment, I want to focus on the new piece of information that I have. And what I'm understanding is that so many of these clues point us to April. This show is in October, early October last year. And we understood that it was prophetic. It was just before a strong date set that we had for October 5th and so on. But the other night, I listened to Kleck, as credit where credit's due, and he was talking about these festivals, this 13-day time period that leads into their satanic Beltane festival, Bel, Baal, whatever, Molech, whatever. They're all just satanic. And the final day of that is this day that they call Beltane. And Beltane is they have a big, they have it on the 30th of April. And the 30th of April, of course, they have it at night. And so it goes into the first day of May. And, of course, that's May Day. And that's where they do the Maypole and all those things, leftist and pagan imagery. And it goes all the way back to the garden, what have you. Anyway, the point is, he was discussing all these things, and he was discussing pictures that he pulled up on the internet from these festivals, or these, I mean, they're basically, they're erotic in nature. And they have a so-called virgin woman all made up in white. And then she is paired with a guy. And what I did not know, because I don't pay much attention to those kinds of things, is that the guy is made in green. He's green from head to toe. And this is huge because it explains why everything that Obama was wearing was green. And this points us to a specific day at the end of April, on the 30th, heading into the first, the Beltane Festival. So Marianne's dream of Obama all in green. Now, they actually call this guy the Green Man. And the folklore says that he represents plant life. But what this whole festival really is, including the Maypole, is a celebration of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And so Eve, until the fall, was a virgin. So this is the virgin. This is the fertility that is being celebrated in all these pagan festivals, is the fall of man. This is what they celebrate. And then 9 months later, they have on the festival that represents Molech, they have, or, you know, another Baal. Anyway, it's December 25th, and they celebrate the birth of these children, which are conceived in these Beltane festivals 9 months earlier. And the idea was that these children then become sacrificed. And they were literally sacrificed on these altars. So what I'm saying is, I found out that this Beltane festival involves the prominent man in the festival is a green guy. He's all green. And he is brought into union with the woman in white, who represents the virgin. And so it, now we know, understand, and have absolute connection, an additional connection between Marianne's dream about Obama being in green and this Beltane festival. So yet another powerful connection, yet another amazing confirmation. Of all of that. Tana's on the line. Let me bring her on and say hi to Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm well.
Hi. Good. I love you. And I love you all.
How are you, Tana?
I'm doing well. Sorry. I just blew fur and now I'm doing a little workout.
Oh, there you go.
Just listening, but yeah. But I love Jesus.
Okay.
And you tell me to get a
Yay.
Soon.
I love Jesus.
Yay.
Yep.
So cool stuff. Cool stuff you're finding out, Jerry.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Big stuff, disgusting stuff, but cool. And that it relates
well,
to
that's,
us going.
Yeah. And I don't like to talk about all this stuff in the world and all what all these sick people are doing out there. But when he's given us such powerful clues so long ahead, it's definitely something we need to pay attention to, because he's leading us directly to this time of year, and especially the end of the month. And yep. It's a huge, huge clue. And,
yeah,
you know, what happens then, I'm going to say, I don't know. You know, I would like to be out of here even before then. Yeah, but whatever, I would have liked to have been out of here before, so what am I going to do? Carol says, okay. Hi, Tana.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah. And
I would say Jesus always wins, and those babies are in heaven, so God always wins. He's got the last. He's got the last laugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I think right. So anyway, let me check out something here just in case. No, I'm okay. So yeah, so you know, these things are. I've never seen. I think the most powerfully reinforced dates that we've had, and not maybe the most powerful single moment, but the sum total of all of the different ways, different people, and the different ways we were led to February 5th was huge. That 84-day time period leads us to the 29th of April, which is real big and significant to my signing experience. And then the very next day is the day that they hold this Beltane festival. Of course, it's at night, so that technically becomes the 1st of May. So all of these things are – and I don't know if we have to wait to then or not. I was very surprised. I was thinking the 16th, it was sort of sticking in my head. Carol mentioned a few times, and so had some others. And then he led me to this Ezekiel verse, which has within it 3:16s. And which, of course, I even recognize, you know, 3:16s, you know. So if I say 3:16s, we're all going to think John 3:16, right? So he did that. I was literally not aware of what was happening because he led me to that by a page number. And I didn't know what chapter, and, you know, it didn't even matter. So I'm in Ezekiel. So actually he had me looking for a letter combination that I did not even actually find, except that one of the letters is the letter in this translation that starts that verse. And I'm just realizing that right now. So, anyway, 3:16s, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 32. And that's what he led me to for today's show. And then the other thing was that I tried to schedule a show for today earlier and then realized that it wasn't scheduled. And I have one scheduled for the 19th of April, which was not my intention today, but that's how it happened. And he very specifically clarified that he did not want, you know, that he didn't want to give me the same message for today for the title page. So that message on the title page for the 19th is very simple. Oh, I see what happened. Sorry. I get it. Well, anyway, now I'm going to be messed up on the other. Anyway, so sorry. Weird, just unusual things going on here. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of Sheol, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." It actually says of the dead there, the realm of the dead. But I don't know why it says that, because when I read it, when I copied the verse to paste it in that text box, I'm sure it said Sheol. So somehow it changed from Sheol to the realm of the dead, and I had nothing to do with that, nor did I intentionally schedule the show for the 19th. So anyway, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. So I'm going to close that because it's created a conflict here. And then, so... a couple of anomalies there, 3/16, very interesting. And I guess I'll go on. But the green guy thing is yet another detail of understanding that is interesting. And also, apparently the pieces that they of this archway they're going to assemble in Trafalgar Square have arrived in London. I was playing around in chat the other day at the end of the show, and I typed in a little bit whimsically, but somewhat seriously. I have learned that in order to dissect the sort of doublespeak of the occult in some of their naming and symbolism, you have to look syllable by syllable sometimes. And if you take Babylon and break it into the you can say Babylon, but the first two syllables also make the word baby. And that caught my attention because this is the fertility and birthing children is part of what this is about, so that they can be sacrificed. And conceiving and sacrificing. And the other thing is the last syllable is lawn, L-O-N, and that's just like London, L-O-N. And so I sort of said Babylon, London. So I think there's another association there that I haven't completely gone through, but I am fairly sure that it has meaning because the origin of the name of London is actually out of the ordinary. And I will also mention, by the way, that the in English, gematria, the numbering of words and letters, the value of London is 444. And since they selected that name, I sort of presume that on the occult side, that was not an accident. So all of these things do go back to the city of London, the Vatican. We are in Rome. Rome is a replica of Egypt. There is these things, all of these things are connected. But in our reference, I think Rome is the most obvious one because, although it is interesting, because the tribe of Dan, which is sort of rumored to have started Rome, it was the tribe of Dan, and it is said that they came through Egypt on their way across the Mediterranean to Italy. And so this symbolism is all integrated. It is not accidental. It's all there, spiritually or literally on purpose, by people. And I'm going to do something here. This was on my mind, and that's not, there's a connection there, but I'm going to set that aside right now. So, these things are all percolating and coming on out, and we'll see. Oh, there's Mama Pat. We need to say hi to Mama Pat. Hi, Mama Pat.
Hey, hi, guys. Long time no talk. Hope everybody's okay.
You
love you all.
Yeah. I snuck a couple of shows in on you, Pat. I didn't give you a warning, and I should have.
Oh, that's all right. I'm all over the place. I mean, I'm in and out with kids and stuff, so it's all right. It's just as well. I'm on the phone with people, so I really can't give full attention all the time to anything. It's been a very busy day with doctors and stuff, and it's just just keep her in prayer. She's doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
It's in God's hands.
We just want to make sure you're doing all right.
No, I'll survive because I love the Lord, and I that's why I will survive.
I haven't got time to think about
dates or anything. I've got so much going on here, you know.
Well, I have had
man.
A lot of
it
that.
Help
I've had
my
very,
backer.
Very much. Yeah, I've had a lot of extra preoccupation and busyness myself since I've come back.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. A lot of us have. Yeah, life goes on even when you're waiting.
Yeah.
Oh dear God!
Right.
Oh, hurry up, Lord.
Yeah.
It's getting nuts.
It.
Really nuts.
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway, so I'll
sure.
be right. Yeah, I was listening to Mary Greeley. I mean, maybe you want to talk about something else right now, but she was
no,
on Paul Begley's show.
No, I saw your email.
Interesting stuff. I learned stuff about volcanoes and things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So what's kind of the bottom line? What is she thinking?
Okay. The monitors that they have, the seismographic monitors, they've put them up a little higher, so they're not measuring the earthquakes properly. They don't want to measure them properly.
Yeah, they make them look smaller than they are.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. You nail on the head. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. The other thing is that when they did the Canary Islands, when they had a volcano, it's not always earthquakes that trigger it off. The magma can trigger it off. And the best way to tell if you're going to have a volcano is not from the earthquakes or anything. It's from the gases being let loose out of the ground. That will indicate that it's going to blow. So they should be watching for that, okay? And that's basically – there were a couple of other little things. Oh, she had talked to the she talked to the guy at the university, Kentucky University. I mean, hello.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
And he said, well, the one of the geologists or whatever at the University of Kentucky, I think it was of Kentucky, and he said, well, they're taking the monitors down so that they can have greater control of information, I suppose. So, I mean, cat out of the bag. Yeah.
Well, greater control, exactly.
For control, yeah. Yeah,
well, that's,
of what people know and don't know. That's kind of scary, though. I mean, if you have nothing to hide, why are you having that attitude, you know? So it's interesting.
Well, that's right. Hmm. They want to control information to the citizens, but they don't want to control, for example, our borders. They want to control their tax revenues, but they really don't want to control non-citizens or even potential terrorists crossing the border or wherever they may go.
Yeah, it's everything is so screwed
here.
Up. It's unbelievable. The priorities in life.
Yeah. That's right.
Evil
so
is
it,
in charge until God gets you with an iron rod.
Yeah. Make no mistake. To the extent that God is allowing them to do things, they're in control.
Yeah.
And what is happening, the things that are happening are what they want to happen.
Right.
And if you think of it that way, you can understand very quickly how what their goals are and so on. Forget what they say and just watch what happens.
Oh, exactly.
You
got to watch what happens. And God's in control. He will just let things go so long and then bam.
That's it.
He will allow
that's
things
it.
For so long and that's it. You know, nothing happens but what he allows. Yeah,
well,
he
that's
hasn't
right,
taken
but he
now.
Also, but and that's true, and he is allowing things too, and so I guess people who have a sort of a simplistic version in their minds of what God may or may not do will have trouble with this, but you know, onset of difficulty is part of his end time plan, and that's quite clear, and so we're seeing it, we're living in it,
I know we are,
and. And it's an amazing thing to watch. It's quite you can consider it a lot of different things, but it's an amazing thing. And many people often, you know, consider what it would be like to be at a certain place in time when something really huge is happening. And, you know, the thing about that is, until history's written, it's hard to know what's huge at the time sometimes. Now, we get it. You know, we get it through our spiritual discernment. We see the clues.
Right.
We see the way things are coming together. We're getting all these super powerful leadings in various different ways, all of us. Mm-hmm. But you know, most people are way behind and don't want to believe, or they're just trusting, you know, the government. And, you know, and it's just, but if you understand, you know what, there are trustworthy government employees, but they don't work for people who are trustworthy.
Exactly.
And
if they say anything, they'll lose their job.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, and they may not like it, and a few of them may, you know, decide to try to do something about it. But, you know, the official story is never going to enlighten anybody. The official story is always going to obfuscate and delay true understanding and truth. That's just how they work, because, you know, accurate information is power and money. And that's what these people are about. And so power, money, and government is about control.
Follow the money. Follow the money.
So when you see the government not upset when they're not controlling something they're supposed to control, like the borders, you can be rock bottom certain that they don't want to control the borders. You know, it's not a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, the U.S. government is funding fences for other countries that they want to endear themselves to, but they won't do anything about our own borders. So, you know, it's anybody can cross an open border. It's not racist or prejudice or wishing harm to the poor. One of the foremost responsibilities of any government is to control its borders. If it doesn't have control of its borders, then it cannot protect any of the other duties that it is entrusted with. And so we actually, just by that simple measure, we have we have a crisis of effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's certain words I don't want to say now, because if you really say it like it is, it's quite inflammatory.
You don't control your borders. Does anybody even have to finish that sentence? I mean, hello.
That's right. Yeah, I mean,
you don't control your borders. I mean, how much of an idiot are you? I mean, really, come on. I mean, again, nothing, no prejudice, no nothing.
Yeah.
But what jerks not to do that?
Right.
Because you're letting in all kinds of problems which may not be solved and can get out of hand and cause a lot of misery. You know, my heart goes out to those who are sincerely seeking asylum. I really do. But you just can't have open borders and think that only good people are going to come over looking to be good in our country. No, not at all. Quite the opposite. Oh, and he's taking what, 350,000 or 350 so many a month of Obama?
I don't know,
350, of the refugees?
358
yeah.
a week or a day or
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Whatever,
a week,
whatever
a week,
the number
a week.
Is. Whatever it is, you can be certain that the actual number is much higher, at least twice as high, because it's probably
truth? No
300.
One's truth.
It's probably no. I mean, these people lie for a living, so.
No, sure, exactly. We're stuck with it.
But let's look at the border question in terms of biology, okay? Multi-cell organisms are a high form of life. When you don't control your borders, the landmass becomes a single-cell organism, which is a lower form of life.
You're asking for tremendous deterioration in all areas. Well, I don't care how you want to size it up. It stinks.
You know, look, it's called out of chaos order. It says so on the money. It says so on our money.
There's never
going to
be any
order.
There's never going to be. You've got total disorder.
Well, there will be. Their plan is Islamic rule through Sharia law. That's their plan. And that's their plan. They want to upend all the Christian culture, and that's why they're doing it. That's why they've been having the Saudis, you know, fund all these mosques and all these Islamic people coming over.
Oh, sure.
And that's why they're trying to have race riots, and they're trying to have racial tension, they're trying to have economic class tension, and they're trying to have religious tension. And if they can get them all going at once, it's going to be so chaotic that they're just going to go out and just basically clamp everything down. And the most thuggish, in a chaotic situation, the most thuggish methodology comes out on top. And it's only when things stabilize that public influence becomes to have some weight and sort of shames the system into being a little more above board. Now we're on the decline. Now we're seeing it the other way. Now we're seeing full blown criminality uprooting all of the legal and cultural foundations that create a stable society. And honestly, I actually have very significant sympathy for the Hispanics that are coming to this country right now looking and hoping for a better life, because one of the number one things that is causing problems in the countries where they have come from is the lack of a rule of law. They're coming from places where the police are owned and you have to bribe everybody to do everything, and you can be kidnapped and taken for ransom and all this silly stuff.
Sure.
And they're coming into a country that hasn't been that way, but is in rapid decline in that direction.
Yeah.
And in some ways, they're directly contributing to it, because the first thing those people do to get into this country is break.
Yeah.
And without a stable rule of law where the citizenry is empowered and protected rather than the government as an entity, that's where the prosperity comes from. And they're coming to a place where that's all being stolen right from under the feet of the people who have it. So I actually have a little sympathy for them on that count, because from where they're coming from, they can't see it. From where they're coming from, they don't understand how they're participating in the destruction of what they hope to profit from. But
where is he putting all these people? Where is he putting all these people? FEMA camps?
No. Pat, they're spending big money to house these people.
Oh.
Big money. They're
spending
money.
Why did I think that they were
No. They're spending money to house these people. They're not just shepherding them across the border with government employees. Oh no. They target neighborhoods where they want to break up the cultural norm, and they're bringing them in and they're finding empty houses. Remember, there's still loads of houses that were foreclosed on 8 years ago, those have never been brought back on the market. And some of these people being moved into those homes, some of these people are being put into apartment complexes. And when they're first brought across the border, they literally have taken resorts. They bought resorts in the desert, nice ones, and put these people up. They're paying to house them. They're literally paying them to be here and paying for their room and board and everything else. And, you know, they're living in Fat City right now compared to where they came from. But the problem is that's going to end too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They're being set up. You know,
yeah.
One of the bubbles in the economy is the artificial support of the non-naturalized citizens. And the non-naturalized populace, we can't call them illegal immigrants anymore because, you know, that's offensive and too accurate. Whatever you want to call them,
yeah.
You know, that support's going to go away. I mean, just the next, whenever there's a financial crash or stock market crash or whatever, that's going to disappear as soon as every other thing disappears. And this
yeah.
is how they're going to partly one of the ways they're going to create. But these people are being funded to be here. I mean, they're
oh,
not just
yeah.
being given a plane ticket and saying, oh, you know, I mean, literally, they're sending them a place to live. They're paying the rent for at least a year. And you can be sure they're, you know, given food stamps and welfare and health care and this, that, and the other thing. You know, they're set up. They're actually, you know, they're coming out way ahead. And
yeah.
And that's part of what all this quantitative easing has done. They just have created excuses to, but they're spending the money where their sympathies are, and not in a across the board. And so their sympathies do not lie with the existing hardworking middle class. Their sympathies lie with the people who have no jobs and can disrupt the culture. That's where their sympathies are. That's where they're spending. That's
horrible.
Where they're spending their money. That's who these people are. Yeah. So.
Oh man, this is such a mess.
Yeah.
This
right.
just.
If they have,
hopefully
I ran the
good
numbers.
Christians around to convert them all.
Yeah.
The power
yeah.
of love.
I think. Yeah. I think we're going to very shortly see the power of God acting directly. You know, there's.
Yeah.
At the time of the Exodus, the Jews came out of Egypt directly by the hand of God. The plagues were brought directly by God. They came out of the desert and were led by a direct manifestation of the power of God. They were spoken, Moses was spoken to, and initially the people were spoken to directly by God. And as time went on, the people came farther and farther. They kept putting more and more people between themselves and God. You know, first they asked for priests, and then they asked for a king, and so on and so forth. And pretty soon they'd shoved God back to the corner of the room, and it was, and here we are. But, however, we are in reverse mode. We're going from a time where people have removed themselves from God's influence, but there is a time, there will be a sort of a reverse Exodus moment where, you know, God is working powerfully through a smaller group of people, like, you know, believers, watchers, people like us. He's working powerfully through
yes.
them and through us, and at some point he's going to take us out. And he's going to go directly, and he will be performing live on stage for everyone, and people are going to have to make their choices, and that's what we're moving to. It's not going to be just discipleship and revival and all this stuff. It's going to be God one-on-one. You know, everybody's going to know who it is coming in the clouds and coming in the sky.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to see him. Everybody's going to know. And that's why in Revelation it says, you know, it says these people will be hiding under the rocks and asking to be killed for the fear of God.
I know.
Because
I know.
They know they're in the wrong place. And it's,
yeah.
it's not, you know, they're not, you know, they're not going to their bunkers in fear of a missionary. They're not going to their bunkers, in fear of a Bible group leader. They're going to their bunkers in fear because the overwhelming omnipotent power of God is coming
yeah.
for all to see and feel onto the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why they're hiding. That's why they're
yeah.
afraid.
All these silly people think they're going to hide from God in bunkers. I got nothing coming to you.
That's right.
knows where you are. You can have your luxury hotels in the bunkers, but there's still such a thing as fireballs and earthquakes, you know. You're not going to get away with it. Yeah. The people on the surface are safer than you.
That's right.
Come right down to it.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid
hide.
Of the wrong things. Yeah, yeah. They're afraid of the wrong things. They're afraid of losing their skin instead of afraid of God.
Yeah.
They're afraid of losing their wealth and their lives instead of afraid of God. If they had their priorities right,
sense.
They'd be afraid of God, and
yeah,
they could
no
be saved anyway. But their priorities are wrong.
Exactly. They have no faith or belief, no fear, conscience, no sense of eternity, nothing.
They believe
no
in their money. They believe...
Yeah.
They believe in their position in the government. They believe in their money. They believe in their intelligence, their knowledge. They believe in all that silly stuff. And God is going to come back, and they're going to be, you know, they will no longer believe in clean underwear.
Did you talk about Afghanistan with that weird thing with the fire and the water all at once? Did you hear about that?
I saw a picture of it. I haven't talked about it. It is very interesting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. People are freaking out over it, yeah. And 12 sheep died from a thunderbolt in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Weird stuff.
Well.
Yeah. And hail falling. And it's just crazy.
I had something here. I did want to read a little bit of Michelle's email from the other day. This is several days ago.
Right.
And I don't want to go too much longer here because I just need to be, but I do want to get through some of this because I think it's a great example. It's a really good testimony, and I thought it might be good. I think Michelle went through a lot of this, but I thought it would be good for somebody else to recognize it, and also I might make a couple of comments here. But anyway, so this is from her email from the 29th of March, and it just says garage work, and there's really a lot here, and I don't think I'll go through all of it, but some of the things she says are extremely true and I think great for anyone at large who to hear. Anyway, so it starts off. So I have some garage work that points to our possible departure in mid to late April. I came up with this time frame this past Sunday, which was Resurrection Day. The funny thing is that the day before I was telling the Lord, after thinking of all the past date sets and possible times in the future that we could depart, that I was going to take a little break from Garage Kid mode because it was stressing me out. Well, that break did not even last 24 hours as I was being presented with stuff. And this is how God works. I've been through this cycle several times with him. Not always. I mean, sometimes I've gotten bigger breaks than that, but this is what he does. He presses us into this. He draws us in. We don't just, I mean, she wanted to break, and she was like, okay. She exhaled, inhaled, and next thing she knew, she was back at it. So she says, this past Friday or Saturday, I was thinking about all the Jewish feast days, and that in a way all represent the rapture, the coming of the Lord. I was also thinking about which feast day in particular, if the translation of rapture were to occur on a feast day, we would have the best chance of departing on. I think the first fruits on the 17th of Nisan represents our departure, which is the 25th, by the way, of April, or worldwide rapture, the best. This occurs during Passover, which I know at least a few people in our group have been led to look for, and first fruits is like our Easter, and so on. I remember Katie having a dream seemed to imply Easter. Anyway, this year Passover is indicated on the current Jewish calendar as April 22nd in the evening, or April 22nd, 23rd to the 29th and 30th. So here Passover ends and leads right into Beltane, and in for the fact, and I mentioned the other day that the Eastern Church, Eastern Orthodox Christian Church, well, that may not be the right way to put it, but anyway, the Eastern Orthodox Church, Easter is May 1st, which this year happens to be the Beltane Festival. It's the signature most important day of this evil pagan time of year. Jerry had been mentioning 27, 28 day offset of God's calendar from our calendar and the Jewish calendar, but since the 13th month was added in, I'm not sure the offset still applies to the current Jewish calendar. And I think it still applies to the Gregorian calendar, potentially, depending on how God wants to use it. But also, actually, I think we're in a different situation, at least some of the things I've looked at, because we're in a we're in a year where they have 13 months. They have the added month. And I think maybe we're supposed to disregard that added month in a certain respect. Not that we should bump everything forward, but that we should just sort of disregard. Because remember, that added month is actually a makeup for having gotten ahead. So it bumps everything back closer to where it should be. And this year, because it's added month, you know, we're actually past the harvest time, and so everything's out of whack. But, you know, forget the religiosity and, you know, of the calendar, and just look at how God is sending messages. Okay, so for the reflection of our pattern, okay, so she gets into a lot of stuff. It's talking about reflections of the Elijah pattern. This is mentions February 11th when Judy's son was told to believe that the rapture is today, 27 days, the number in the Elijah pattern, 28-day offset, 40 days and 84 days that we thought were part of the Elijah pattern with the two bears and the 42 ewes. So that's the 84 days. March 16th, a week before the reflection ended, was a date set for us, and this resembles the fact that our miracle show and the announcement of our translation occurred a week before the Elijah pattern started. And so this, and also an interesting note that it's mentioning March 16th, and the 27, 28 days is roughly a month. And here we are at the moment talking about, among other things, April 16th. So, and the April 19th. Okay, so anyway, so Jerry's Sign for You experience marked out the dates of April 15th and April 29th of 2014. Perhaps this was an indication to pay attention to the time of the time frame of April 15th to 29th, which is a definite possibility this year. And let's see what else. Another possibility is worldwide rapture occurs on April 25th, first fruits. And we leave 7 days before this on April 18th, which is the day they're supposed to set up this Roman archway in the Trafalgar Square. And, of course, there's other possibilities. I thought it was interesting that the original article that was published out of London that mentioned all this archways and setting things up in Trafalgar Square and Times Square was published on the 28th of December, which was Kevin's translation day, which could be also a little bit of an interesting clue. Let me see. I'm just sort of scanning right now. She said. Now this one is kind of interesting because of the emphasis he gave me on the 16th today. So okay, so I just did a day calculation, the day count, and 777 days exclusive of February 28th, which was the beginning of the Elijah pattern, and also the start of the year in the Roman calendar. I guess I'm not sure I understand that. No. Anyway, is April 15th, 777 days from then is April 15th, 2016.
Yeah.
So, and then we had several references to 450, and I don't know if I can get myself back to that. Eventually maybe, but that's for real. Also, 555 days from October 8th, 2014, which was the start of Tabernacles, is April 15th, 2016. And 450 days from January 21st, 2015, the reflection point in the pattern is April 15th, 2016. So here are the 15th and the 16th coming up are indicated by several different sort of patterns, numerical patterns and other patterns. And the 10th of Nisan, the selection of the Passover lamb, triumphal entry is anniversary in the Jewish calendar is April 18th this year. And so the fact that they're putting up the Arch of Triumph from Palmyra on the 18th, I do believe God had a hand in that, in what they were going to have to select. She goes on to other things, including June and what have you. Let's see. Oh, that's right. I'm scanning here. Gordon Turkey Turnkey is upside down. Oh, she mentions, reminds me of Marianne's word that included turkey, turnkey, as in upside down. She also had a word about Maundy Thursday, which would be April 23rd on the Jewish calendar if applied in that way. Okay, that is all I have time for. So anyway, in this email. So anyway, if you go April 23rd, Maundy Thursday, from that one leading Marianne had, and the turnkey, and when you turn a key, it's you basically turn it upside down. This reflects back on a lot of the imagery that Jonathan Kleck discusses. And because we are sort of upside down compared to how God's intentions, things are upside down and backwards in the world. And so what I'm getting at here is this April 23rd, if that's a turnkey day, Maundy Thursday, okay, a turnkey day would be the worldwide rapture, or could well be. 7 days before that would be the 16th of April.
Oh.
What I really wanted to illustrate was how Michelle's little testimony there, how she was trying to kind of stop the garage work and everything else. And we're going to run out of live time here
in
about a minute. And I'm not going to go too much past that. I'm going to try to complete this thought. She also sent an email, a follow-up. The last 2 days of March sound – oh, that's a comment. I mean, here's another day count, 888 days from November 19, 2013, which is the day the Lord fell on Judy's son, is April 25th, 2016, Resurrection Day. Also 40 days from March 23rd would be May 2nd, but that would be last case scenario. And then, let's see, and we're hoping that, let me see. And so then, I haven't gotten to it yet, but I want to go a little bit over some of Carol's things, and then and we'll go from there. But as you can see, I'm not in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have time to process all these things. I'm in a hurry, but
yeah.
I don't have a time to process all these things. And the October 3rd show is well worth looking at and listening to and continuing to find clues and things that validate that show is extremely prophetic as it relates to these times. That's kind of where we're at. I'll come back and try to get more of that going on soon. But I have my hands full here around home as I know you can relate to, and Judy's the same way. A lot of us have acquired additional distractions recently, and so we're trying to handle all these things, and I don't think the main thing right now is I want to follow up on these things, put out some quality info, and when we can fellowship and whatever. But right now I know a lot of us have our hands full, and I'm really hoping that he's going to get us out of here because. You know, I don't have very much nice to say about thinking very far into the future. I mean, I understand. I mean, I've got a date set for later in the year, but I don't necessarily think there's anything all that anointed about it. You know, it's just something that I know I was led to. But what I'm seeing in front of me right now totally fits expectations and patterns that I think very powerfully indicate the potential for our departure and things to change in a major way in the world. And I think we're gonna see some things. They're trying very hard. It's like the Lord told me, they're doing the best they can to accomplish their little evil schemes. There more things will happen. But if you really are concerned about when things get scary, it's going to be God's power. You know, when the earth gets really scary, it's going to be when God's power starts pouring out wrath on the earth. And it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary if you're weak in the faith or you're not in faith. That's going to be scary.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the faith, You know, and if you're in a really in a good place with him right now, then odds are you won't actually be here when that starts.
That sounds good. I'll take it.
Yeah. Right. So.
Not to throw a wet blanket on anything, but a few people are thinking Passover in May that we are flying away, definitely because of the Bible code and stuff. Just running it by you. I'm not saying that that's you know, but that's what's out there too.
Sorry, would you say that again,
yeah.
Pat? Because I
missed
something
between the 22nd.
Oh, yeah,
20,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another date thing out
duh.
There. But who
to
knows?
That,
who
to
knows?
That I say, to that I say, duh. You know,
no, it's too,
so, yeah,
it's too
I mean,
late.
I mean, I knew. I, you know, yeah, sure, Passover. I mean, I don't disregard it. It's obviously significant. I think it's going to play into things one way or another. But believe me, you know, anybody can conjure up the notion of Passover. I wish. Well, I said 2 days ago on the show. No, that's fine. I said on the show 2 days ago. I discussed about this arch stuff and these festivals and what have you, and which Jason and I have privately discussed at length. And I did say, I said, you know, I've been led to a whole bunch of different days. Now I'm led to the 16th, but I'm also, I mean, I said that I've been personally led to the 29th and the 30th. And arguably the first. And now that I understand that Obama being all in green relates to the 30th and the first, and what I said was I wasn't sure about a particular day because I see so many things. I've been led to so many things in this time frame of the second half of the month. By the way, just for reference, remember – I'm not exactly sure how all this fits together, but it's interesting that tax day in this country is April 15th, which is also the day that Abraham Lincoln died. And also, so Abraham Lincoln was shot in the head on the 14th and died on the 15th.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that necessarily relates to anything, but I just think it's weird that the IRS would pick that day as the day to complete one's taxes. I just find that actually inappropriate. Okay, let's put it this way. They must think it's appropriate, and I think there's something wrong with that. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that's kind of what I have. I think we're going to I don't know. Let's see. I want to play something. Yeah? Yeah, do you have something?
Remember how we were saying I see the numbers 10 and 16? You see where it's going?
Well,
Descent. That's in 10 and 16. It's like I think I'm nuts, you know, and then all of a sudden it's right in my face again, you know?
So that's 16, 17, 18. Yeah, and that fits right in with one of the day sequences that Mary Ann had also.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna play this song because it's one that was brought to my mind yesterday, and I hadn't played it for a while. But I don't know if it means anything or not. But let's boogie. Oh no, wait a minute. Plus, because it's 16, I gotta play. Hold on, before I play that one, I gotta play this, and we're gonna have some 16 candles here. Buddy, that would be so good.
Oh, yeah. It's not real birthday. God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
That'll be the song playing when we come up.
I used to have a sense.
Don't put it past him. You used to what?
I used to have a sense of humor. We're a little
I have to have a sense of humor. I'll go crazy with everything.
I know, yeah.
Oh, please, you don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have my faith to get it.
That's right.
No, I love everybody. No, I love my daughter, but it's...
Right, exactly.
Makes a difference when you're going to be 73. And living on aspirin, okay. That's bad.
Yeah.
I love you, Jesus. I love you.
Oh,
hang on.
Okay. We're going to shake it up a little bit and say goodnight.
Okay.
Love you all.
Love you all. Okay.